Right now, though, we bring you Matter of Fact, and Kate Wilkinson joins us now in studio for the first one, the first installment, and Kate is the Deputy Chief Editor at Africa Check. Do we say it?
Do we say what?
Compliments.
Oh, you can wish me compliments.
Have a wonderful year ahead.
We're pretty deep into January now.
I know. A week. It's over with a week and a half, and the month will be done. But why not? So we're looking at three particular stories. And I think there's a bit of a pattern in my mind that was emerging about just the times that we're living in. Once again, misinformation. Once again, we have to be quite vigilant about what we believe and what we choose to spread. Because I did see these stories as well.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, over the December and January period. So let's start with the first one. Mm. So there's an article on a news site, ENCA, which makes a claim about the number of hours that South Africans work.
And this was an article they carried last month. And I think at the end of the year, everyone's feeling like they've worked more than they should have.
Yeah.
And it hit a chord. Because the claim which was made was that South Africans have the longest working hours of any other country in the world.
That's enough to make you furious, yes.
Yeah, and I think by the end of the year, we can all relate to that.
Packing our bags, not coming back. Wherever
exactly.
You were going for your break, you're like, I'm not coming back.
I'm done. But we actually, interestingly, all of these claims that we're looking at today were all flagged on Facebook to us by the platform's third-party fact-checking program.
Wow.
And we get flagged posts and content which users, just like the listeners who are listening to this, have reported. So you can do that. You can report individual posts that you think may be false.
Mm-hmm.
And then also Facebook's algorithm picks up posts which seem to mimic or have a similar sharing pattern or content to other posts which have been found to be false.
Ah.
So these are very much...
It's quite sophisticated.
Yeah.
Because we often, you know, I would click on those things, whether it's to block someone or to report a post or something like that. But I often wonder about what happens behind the scenes. Will anything happen? Will anything change?
So if you report a post, and on Facebook, when you look at a post, on the top right-hand corner, there are three little dots.
Yes.
Click on it, report. One of the options is fake or false.
Mm-hmm.
And if a number of people or enough people do that, when we log into Facebook through a little back door where we get to see a list of all these things, that post might pop up for us and we can check it.
Okay.
If we check it and we find that it is false, we will rate it as such, publish our reasoning why.
Mm-hmm.
That post isn't taken down. But what happens is that it is appended with a check. So if someone tries to share it, they'll get a notification saying, hang on,
yes.
Just want to let you know, and a fact-checking organization has marked this as false, you might want to read it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is part of the work that we're doing there. And all of these have been on Facebook, so there's a good chance that listeners have seen this over the holiday period.
Absolutely. So let's look at this one that is that was on ENCA's website about the number of hours. Where was the claim? Who was making this claim?
Yeah, so the claim again was that South Africans have the longest working hours of any other country. And it went on to say that this was equal to 2,209 hours per year.
Mm-hmm.
So if we put that into context quickly, if a year has 365 days and roughly 52 weeks, and you work 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, and you have no holidays, then you're going to be working about 2,080 hours per year. So the figure cited for South Africa is actually a bit higher than that. We're looking at 2,209 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So not only did they say we're at the top, but they also say it sounds like we're working quite a lot more than you would expect.
Yes. So this is how the story captured this, what they did with the data.
Mm.
But where did the data come from?
So if you read the article, you see that the data is actually attributed to something called Our World in Data.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually comes from, it's a unit at Oxford University in the UK. Mm-hmm. And they indeed did publish a study which was called Working Hours. And they looked at working hours around the world. But importantly, they had a little disclaimer on the study and they said that it was only a preliminary collection of the relevant material.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do their own research. They didn't conduct a study to find this out. They compiled data. And it turns out that they got this data from another organization. And that was a university that was based in the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm.
So we tracked it all down. We found the original studies. We turned to the page where it was going to tell us who worked the most hours on average in the world. And it wasn't South Africa.
Where were we?
So when we look at the rankings, we see that right at the top, so I don't think you can say you get first place because you don't really win anything. But at the top of the rankings, according to this study and this collation of data, and that is looking at 2017, we see Cambodia tops the rankings.
Hmm.
And that was with 2,456 hours worked on average per person, who for people who have jobs per year.
That and we're what? We're eighth on that
list. We were eighth. So the number that was cited was actually in the study.
Mm-hmm.
It was 2,209. But we're eighth. We had seven countries ahead of us. So like I said, Cambodia. In second place is Myanmar. In third, we have Mexico, Malaysia, Singapore, Bangladesh, and then Costa Rica.
I find that so interesting when you look at the complement of countries that we are in the top 10 with. You know, the types of economies they are, where they are developmentally and so on. It looks like this is clearly common to countries that may be deemed to be quite close to.
But I think also importantly is this is probably quite a blunt measure.
Right.
It's telling us on average, you know, spread out, it takes out all the nuance, all the differentiation
exactly.
about formal and informal work, men and women, different qualifications.
Mm.
So it's interesting. We're certainly not first.
Brackets, income brackets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're certainly not first. This article that was on ENCA had its facts wrong. We were able to find that maybe this came from a YouTube video that was created, which misinterpreted the facts. We think that might be how it happened. But
what do we know about the YouTube video?
Well, it's quite an interesting situation. It seems like the video, it was posted on this channel called Statistics and Data. And the channel was created in September 2019, and it has just 523 subscribers. And they appear to have no link to either Our World in Data, which was based at Oxford University, or the university that was based in the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like someone may have just cobbled together this YouTube video. And it's a good warning. Often you see something, it looks very professional, it's a slick production,
yeah.
and you think, looks legit.
Yeah.
But it's always worth doing a bit of digging. And if something only has 523 subscribers, you might want to take another look.
Yes. I know this is an area that you always are cautious in commenting around. But we do have to, when we think of the world that we're living in now, that sometimes research is conducted with what at the face of it looks like a credible research organization. Mm. But in fact, if you dig deeper and you look at who's funding it and for what end, you know, if anyone wants to kind of, whether they want to change legislation or change public sentiment for their benefit, for their corporate benefit, or for whatever category, market category benefit, we always have to look at further than just accepting the data.
Mm, absolutely. And I think the issue of funding that you bring up is important. And that applies to anyone. It applies to Africa Check. The people who fund us, you know, the amounts that they donate are all transparent and they're on our website so you can interrogate them.
But not everybody.
But not everyone does that. And it's important that if you are looking at a study, and often you will find, if you find a study or a journal article, in the first page they will list who funded the study. And they, you'll also see the authors who will then have to disclose if they have any conflicts of interests on the topic.
Mm.
So it's important to always keep that in mind and to think about how funding or pressure could, you know, motivate or change the angle of research. But it's also important to accept that an organization that you don't like, that maybe has a funder that you don't agree with, could also produce something that could be 100% correct.
That's true.
So it's about looking at a holistic picture. What is being said? How is it researched? How are the findings presenting? Who funded it?
Mm.
And then with all that information, then making a decision about whether you're going to trust that information.
All right. So this story certainly not true or not presented in an accurate fashion. And we certainly don't work the longest hours in the world. We're eighth on the list that was compiled. And this was from what they were drawing from different sources. It wasn't an actual new study per se. So that's that. The second one has to do, I saw this dropped in my WhatsApp group, one of my WhatsApp groups. And I sat back a little bit because I wanted to see how everybody was going to react to this. And yes, the typical reaction. Mm. And the headline was that Zimbabwe is stealing electricity from South Africa. And the piece made it seem as if Eskom has just discovered this. And this was in December.
Mm.
We were already experiencing load shedding. And we were just dreadful.
Yeah. So this story got a lot of traction because I think, and it's often the case, we were already feeling something about it.
Yeah.
It's often when we're angry, when we're frustrated, maybe we're scared about a story, and then a piece of information is released that resonates with us, that it just takes off. So yeah, people were fed up. And this story came out from a website called Gallant Post, and it claimed that Zimbabwe has been caught stealing electricity from Eskom after 15 years. And according to the story, it said the Zimbabwean government had been running illegal electricity connections from South Africa through the Limpopo River. I don't know how no one noticed.
Yeah.
And it said that for 15 years, Eskom had 2 billion rands worth of electricity disappear unaccounted for.
Yeah.
And it said that the Zimbabwean government had been powering almost half of their country with this illegal connection, and that Eskom had been trying to figure out where the lost electricity had disappeared off to,
yeah,
without any success until the weekend when the story was released. So like I said earlier,
so blame Zimbabweans,
yeah,
for
nice
why you're sitting in the dark.
So then Facebook, this post was shared on Facebook, and I think a few people must have flagged it as being suspicious,
mm-hmm,
and that's how it ended up in front of our researchers.
Fantastic. What did Eskom have to say about this? Because they already are a brand that was coming under a lot of attack.
So Eskom used the F word. Fake news.
Would have been so cool.
So Eskom labeled and dismissed these stories and allegations as fake news. And they actually released a statement denying the story, in which they said that Eskom has never recorded shortfalls in its international power reconciliation, and it hasn't ever investigated the Zimbabwean Electrical Supply Authority over allegations like this. And they went on to say that, you know, energy consumption is monitored, what goes out, what goes in, and that it's independently audited on a regular basis. And importantly, they also pointed out something which is actually a huge problem when it comes to false information like this.
Yeah.
They said that the story had originally been posted by a satire website, which is marked as such, which says clearly that this is satire. It's not true. We're making fun of things. We're highlighting issues. They're honest. But what often happens is that these stories are then republished on websites that make them out to be legitimate news.
So this was on what? Ihlaya.
Yes. It was first published there. And satire has a really important role to play in society. It's how we mock. It's how we mock powerful people. It's how we draw attention to important issues. But where it gets a bit risky is when people then appropriate that satire and pass it off as false, because then you actually start to mislead people, because you're not being honest with them. You're not saying, read the story, get the humor, get the really important point we're trying to make, but realize that it's not true.
Yes, or post it on 1 April or something.
Yes, no. Absolutely. And again, importantly, anyone who had Googled this at the time, if you received it on WhatsApp or saw it on Facebook, would see that no credible news website was running with the story.
Yeah.
That isn't always a sign that it's false, but if after a day or two of this circulating, if no one's picked up on it, then there's a good chance that there isn't much credibility in it.
Right, so that lays that one to rest. And then another one of a similar kind of nature, that Trump tweeted that South Africans will be conscripted for the US-Iran conflict. I remember that. That was such a big trending. World War III was this big trending topic on Twitter after what happened with the killing of the Iranian general, Qasem Soleimani. And there was a lot going around. There was plenty, certainly, going around at that time. Lots of funny memes.
Yeah, so actually, globally, there was a huge wave, almost like a tsunami of disinformation around that. We saw fact-checking organizations around the world grappling with and trying to dispel and fact-check and debunk just an enormous amount of disinformation, with people trying to mislead and to trick and to fool on this topic. And some of it reached South Africa. And what got quite a lot of traction and was shared quite widely was a screenshot of a tweet, which on face value looks like Donald Trump could have tweeted it. So the tweet has a picture that's on his Twitter profile. It has the right handle. It has the blue tick, which suggests that he's verified.
Yes.
And the tweet reads, "Just spoke to Cyril. South Africans will be conscripted if we need them. Let's stop Iran."
And that is such Donald Trump speak.
It could be. And maybe that's why people were fooled.
Yeah.
But
and they even add the number of retweets and likes. The screen grab here has 13,000 retweets, 27,000 likes. You know, they really go far to make it look as authentic as possible with the date, with the time, as you said, even with the little blue tick to say that it's a verified account. So
it looks like someone took a screenshot. Mm-hmm. But that's really where the accuracy ends when it comes to this tweet.
Yeah.
So we got digging, and let's take a bit of a step back. President Trump became president in September 2017, and he tweets off his personal account that he had, which is at Real Donald Trump.
Yes.
And interestingly, it is actually illegal for him to delete tweets. And that's because all correspondence that the American president puts out is actually owned and controlled by the federal government.
So that's how this was resolved, because when he became president, he just carried on as if...
Carry on tweeting.
Yeah, okay.
So when, as a president of the United States, if you tweet something, you're not allowed to delete it. Mm-hmm. And importantly, there has to be a record kept of everything that you tweet or write or email or SMS. Mm-hmm. So this means that any tweets, if this one had been sent out, would have been archived and couldn't have been deleted. So there are a number of websites which keep track of the tweets because it's in the public interest.
Yes.
And there are people who want to make sure that anything that is tweeted by a president, there's a record of it.
Mm.
So if you go to these websites, you're able to have a look back at everything that's been tweeted by a president in America, and they're recorded daily and updated daily, and we would be able to see if anything was deleted. So we went to these archives, and we can see that on the 6th of January 2020, which the screenshot suggests is the day this was tweeted, he didn't tweet anything. He didn't tweet about talking to Cyril. He didn't tweet about conscription in South Africa. So the tweet here is definitely false.
Wow. It's so fascinating that, yes, apart from what many of us would have ended up doing, which was just to search his timeline.
Mm. Yeah, that's the other way.
Search the timeline. But as you said, there's always the possibility that it would be deleted. Mm. But there is this backstop, you know, there's this further measure, which is so fascinating.
And I think with any public figure like this, I mean, if you're the president of America, it's definitely going to happen because we see it happening to local celebrities and local politicians in South Africa. The moment anyone tweets anything which is mildly controversial, someone replies with, got the screenshot.
Yeah.
Because everyone wants receipts of what has been said because they think there's going to be an opportunity in the future
to use it. And then you see posts later, someone's gone and pulled a tweet from however many years ago. And I always think, how did they do that?
Yeah.
But these websites are fascinating. So their sole purpose is just to keep track of everything that the president posts.
Absolutely.
And we don't even have a mechanism like that.
Not that I'm aware of.
No, because there have been leaders who have deleted their posts.
Mm. So yeah, so that's what they do. And if we look back through the history of Trump's tweets when he was president, before that, we can see that Trump joined Twitter in 2009. And how many times do you think he's tweeted about South Africa?
The occasions I can think, maybe 15. Whoa.
He's tweeted about South Africa 15 times. Majority of the tweets have been about crime in South Africa. So classic stereotypical tweets.
There was the land one.
Yes, that was the most recent one. So that was about in August 2018 when he tweeted, and I quote, South Africa, about South Africa's land and farm seizures and expropriation.
Yes. But the fact that conscription would even be, you know, looking at this post, for those that know history, alarm bells would already start going off.
Well, I was thinking with your guest before me, that would be a good question for the quiz, which was when was conscription ended in South Africa? And if we look, it was 1993. And if we look at the United States, we see that the US ended the draft in 1973.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be a worldwide story if South Africa was going to conscript South Africans.
Can you imagine?
To join World War III.
Can you imagine? So very interesting, Kate. Three stories, fake news, and also just capturing data or interpreting, translating it incorrectly. Mm. So how do we contact you? As you said, there are all these, everyone who comes across an article is a source, or rather is a channel through which you would get your hands on these false claims.
Absolutely. So what I think is so important is that Africa Check can't fact check everything, and we would never want to. But what we can do through shows like this, through the work that we do on our website, is we can help people think critically. So the next time you see something on Facebook, you get something on WhatsApp, is to just think about whether it could be true. And if you're not sure, see if you can do a bit of your own research. But if you find that a bit intimidating, you can get in touch with us, because we're already there to help you. So hop onto Twitter. We've tweeted links to all these reports, so you can dig into the details, and that's at Africa Check, or you can visit our website, which is www.africacheck.org, and you can look at what else we're doing. There's also a submission page there where you can submit in a bit more detail what you want fact check. And I think this year it would be really great if 702 listeners could join us in helping to identify potentially dangerous mis- and disinformation that has the ability to actually affect lives in South Africa.
I think we do need to have a show conversation around what we've seen in the past, as in the consequences and the real life impact.
And I think that it doesn't have to be a big national claim. It doesn't have to be a big national story. If at a local community level you have a ward councillor who is making statements about your access to water or about sanitation or about the number of schools or places in a school for children, and you know it's wrong, get in touch with us, because it doesn't have to be a huge national government issue. As if it's affecting people's lives and we can set the record straight with accurate information, then that's what we want to do.
Yes. But the impact that these conversations are having, Kate, is that from time to time I see people saying, well, it was said with Africa Check on 702.
Gospel.
Exactly. That's Kate Wilkinson. Every second Monday, we join the team from Africa Check as we try and bring you just the truth around certain claims that have been made as part of our public discourse every second Monday. But you, of course, can be a part of it too by highlighting, flagging those particular stories or comments that have been made that you think need interrogation. That was Matter of Fact with Kate Wilkinson.